and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A fourth night of anti-ICE protests in L.A. as President Trump calls up the Marines. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
Protests were largely peaceful, the LAPD having control until the evening when conditions here picked up. About 50 people, according to police, were arrested.
Health Secretary Kennedy's removed all of the CDC vaccine advisors from an expert panel. Medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
Experts have warned that Kennedy could use his role not to ban vaccines outright, but used bureaucracy to make them harder to access or trust.
Officials in southeastern Austria say 9 people were killed, including students, when someone fired shots inside a high school. They say the suspect is also dead. A police spokesperson through an interpreter.
We can say the situation is now under control and there's no further danger to the public.
No word on the motive. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A major bridge in western Wisconsin is open again after its second emergency closure in 2 years. With more, here's Jimmy Cuska.
A bridge crossing the Mississippi River to the south of La Crosse is open once again. The Blackhawk Bridge, which takes motorists from Wisconsin to Lansing, Iowa, reopened Monday morning. It was closed on May 17th due to one of its piers moving, but Iowa DOT officials said the bridge is safe to cross. The DOT said that it is planning future closures due to construction of the 94-year-old bridge's replacement, which is set to open in 2027. The current bridge was also closed last year for nearly 2 months for emergency repairs.
Southeastern Wisconsin is now home to the state's first large-scale battery storage facility. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
We Energies says the Paris Solar Battery Park in Kenosha County is now fully operational. The site's new battery system stores enough electricity to power more than 130,000 homes for 4 hours. Solar panels at that site have been working since last December. We Energies is leading the project with partners involved, including Wisconsin Public Service and Madison Gas and Electric.
Meanwhile, Public News Service reports Southwest Wisconsin is also seeing an increase in clean energy. Those in favor say these large-scale, renewable projects are economically beneficial for the community. Around 10% of electricity in Wisconsin comes from renewable sources. These include biofuels, wind, and solar. Roughly 6,500 people work in the industry, which invests $15.5 million a year in property, state, and local taxes, and more than $15 million annually in land lease payments. Critics argue renewable energy replaces some of the state's agricultural land. Those in favor claim less than 2% of Wisconsin's ag land is needed to reach the state's clean energy goals. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Brewers and the Braves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball game 2 of the Brewers and Braves series tonight in Milwaukee. The Brewers looking to bounce back after losing last night 7-1. Atlanta's Matt Olson smacking a 2-run homer off the first pitch thrown by Brewers lefty D.L. Hall in the 5th.
Coming out of the pen, you can't be soft out the gate. You gotta go right at him, and I kind of eased into the first pitch, and he made me pay for it. He's a good hitter. So he did what he was supposed to do. I should have been locked in sooner.
The Braves ending their 7-game losing streak. NFL, the Packers begin their 3-day mini camp. Quarterback Jordan Love asked about facing Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers in October in Pittsburgh.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited for it. You know, I can't wait to be on different sides, meeting up. And I know we'll talk pregame, things like that. And hopefully we can exchange jerseys after.
That's Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be partly cloudy and a bit warmer today. Our high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop to around 60 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunny and even warmer with a high in the upper 70s to near 80. Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Kendall Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. Go-to for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Maggie Dawn.
I'll be slinging drinks at a charity bartending event, but don't worry, you'll be in good hands with special host Angela Lang, joined by Dan Schaefer and Matt Rothschild. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
At 7:06, it's nice to have you back here up north on this Tuesday morning, June 10th. Coming up later this hour, we will discuss the Medicaid cuts contained in President Trump's big bloated budget bill. Yes, they are cuts. We'll hear from the Wisconsin Medicaid director with one example of many to keep in mind when people tell you, well, there's no cuts in there. Let's connect some dots, shall we? So we'll be talking about that coming up in just a little bit. Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 WJFW is with us. We're going to talk about silent sports around some lakes up north and contrast that with a story we talked about last week about banning wake boats, you know, the kind that can kick up really big waves and possibly do damage. But now those bans are going to be tied up in lawsuits. And so we'll talk a bit about that with Dan coming up. But first, meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well to talk to us about a day that might be the best one of the week weather-wise. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Unless you want to be out playing in the rain all the time, but assuming most of us would like at least one day off from the rain, this might be it.
This is going to be it. Today's the day. We've got a high pressure system down to the south that is slowly building in. So we're seeing some sunshine already across the state line south. More and more sun will work its way north as we go through this afternoon. I think the place where the clouds might hang on the longest is going to be in the Fox Valley. But by this evening, they will clear on out of here. We're not looking at any rain in the forecast today. It should stay dry. Again, this high pressure system building in. Now, it does want to hang on a little bit for a lot of the state tomorrow. But then we've got another front pushing through and another low pressure system right behind it. That, of course, is going to bring some more showers and storms late tomorrow night. Overnight and into our Thursday, of course, that starts the unsettled pattern. We have chances for more showers on Friday and even lingering a little bit into Saturday, too. And as that rain and that cloud cover moves in, it's going to drop our high temperatures. So today we're going to go to the low to mid 70s all across the state, maybe even near 80 far west by the Mississippi, and then some mid 60s far northeast, mostly sunny for a big chunk of us. And of course, the last light of sunsets. Oh my gosh, 9:22, we're hanging on to that last light. So much, much longer days. And then of course, tomorrow, very warm. We're going into the mid 80s far south to mid 70s far north. So nice and comfortable.
Very comfortable indeed. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Partly cloudy, 55 degrees, just over a half inch of rain yesterday. Hoping for sunshine today so I can be doing my lawn mowing jobs in Wittenberg. He said, yesterday, the weather felt like October, cool and rainy. I actually wore a hoodie to my dentist appointment yesterday. It was very comfortable most of the time. We played a little Sammy Davis Jr. last segment, and he said 1972 is famous not just for Candyman, but his appearance on All in the Family when he kissed Archie Bunker on the cheek. That was, again, just this groundbreaking moment in TV, which sounds really quaint now, but it was a very big deal back then. I wanted to ask you as well, Brittany, before we get to the Scani Summer Text to Win keyword, whether you're in the coffee club of morning beverage drinkers, Mountain Dew, water, energy drinks, something else. What do you got?
Sure. I'm a coffee, 100%. Now, okay. I never used to always be that way. It's probably only the last 4 to 5 years I started that. So it used to be some sort of caffeine, like a soda or an energy drink. Now I've switched to coffee.
Okay. I discovered something just a few minutes ago that actually works better than caffeine to really get you jolted, get the blood flowing. And that's when you're about to give the Scani Summer Text to Win keyword, and you have doubts over whether you have the right keyword or not.
Oh, boy.
Because I looked over on another screen, and I saw a different word. I was like, no, we all use the same word. And so I'm quickly looking and going, no, this is the right word. And then I realized I was looking at yesterday's word on the screen for a different show. So, but I'm awake now.
Yes, you are.
Definitely awake. Didn't need the coffee for that. Rob says, diet Sundrop. Well, of course, because it was Sundrop days. Last weekend in Shawano County, wasn't it? So there you go. So thank you, Brittany. We'll check in next hour. And in the meantime, I'm going to let my heart settle a little bit and tell you more about this hour's keyword. I'm serious, man. It's just like you don't want that note of you put the wrong one up. Here we go. It's time for our Scani Summer Text to Win contest. Statewide, 4 times a day, you can win $100 cash or Brewers tickets, depending on which drawing, which hour. And every entry puts you in the drawing for a getaway for the weekend in Wisconsin Dells or Door County, some gas money to get you there. There's a different keyword each time. I sure learned that today. If you don't have the app, download it in the usual places, Apple, Google, wherever. And then you have to go to one of the stations on the app, use the text button, and text us this keyword, and this is the correct word for this hour, TAN, T-A-N, TAN, for $100. $100 is this hour's prize. TAN is this hour's keyword. You have until the end of the hour to text it, and then you can play again at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., different keywords each time. So again, for this hour, by the end of the hour, use that Civic Media app and text us the word TAN, T-A-N, for $100. Let's see. Tony says, Dr. Pepper needs to be mentioned. I don't drink as much now, but I used to drink a lot. I have to say, I don't know the difference between all the artificial sweeteners and things. I definitely am not I'm no longer a Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi fan, any of the diet sodas. But this trend of zero sugar ones, Dr. Pepper, zero sugar. There's Barks, zero sugar. And then the one I drink most often is Coke Zero Sugar. I don't know which one is different, but I am worried a bit, Parker and Dan, that maybe I'm going to glow as much as Alicia does for that 4 liters of Mountain Dew a day.
You know, the aspartame, I've heard bad things about it, but then you read more and it's like, oh, you have to drink 7 Mountain Dews every single day for it to actually be bad for you. Okay. So I'm just a coffee drinker.
Oh, I know, but there's plenty of artificial sweetener in my coffee too. I mean, again, Parker, what's the one thing I don't want my coffee tasting like? Coffee. The correct answer is coffee.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Flavor that baby up, you know?
All right, Pat, what do you put in that thing then? Let's get it out.
My favorite is the peppermint mocha one. From Coffee Mate or whatever, which used to be just a Christmas thing, but apparently enough of us with, you know, a sweet tooth, they now sell it all year long. So there's usually a little peppermint mocha.
All right, so what I do is I do whole milk and I do some maple syrup, you know, keep it standard.
Maple syrup in the coffee.
Maple syrup.
Good. Oh, yeah.
All right.
I like that.
Dan Hagen with us from WJFW Newswatch 12, and when we were talking about stories that he's been covering or following up in the Rhinelander area, there's one that kind of ties in from a story we talked about last week from up in Burnett County, where two different landowners, out-of-state landowners on a lake up there, have sued because the local, I think, town board up there put in place a ban on these wake boats. These boats that are modified to give you an extra big wake that you can basically, you know, surf on, put your boogie board on there, whatever the case. And they're trying to sue to get it thrown out. Quite conversely, Mr. Hagen, you're covering a story about, I guess I didn't even think to appreciate this. Up in your neck of the woods, there are things that are classified as non-motorized lakes and trying to encourage more of what are called silent sports around those areas.
Yeah, that's right. So this couple from Sheboygan County were vacationing in the Northwoods for a long time. They bought a place in the 90s on a non-motorized lake. They didn't even realize it was a non-motorized lake until they had the property in their hands. The last name is Strube, and they've been here so long, and they've appreciated the silence so much, the serenity of it all, that they've started a natural wonder fund through the Rhinelander Community Foundation. And what they're trying to do is promote more silent sport activities. And what they're doing with this fund is they're connecting donors to investments in silent sports. This could be a bike trail, it could be a disc golf course, it could be just some infrastructure for a park. So it's just a way to kind of bolster silent sports, because there's a lot of investment in the motorized sports. I'm not an ATV or a UTVer. I hear it's fun. I'm more of a silent sports person myself. So it's just kind of cool to see, because Rhinelander could use more of this investment.
Oh, absolutely. And again, it takes all kinds. And in fact, funny that you say that. I realized I saw a headline and I hadn't called it up yet. The new tourism numbers are out. This always throws me, because National Tourism Day is like right before Memorial Day. And every year we do the story, and we have to always say in the story, the new tourism figures are not out yet. And then a couple of weeks later, they're out. So yes, in fact, here they are. The governor's office put out that, along with Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers, that Wisconsin's tourism industry saw its third consecutive record-breaking year of economic impact, garnering $25.8 billion in total economic impact, or about $70 million a day. And again, all kinds. You need all of it out there. There will be disagreements over what you can do where. But, I mean, especially up where you are, the diversity of activities is what's giving us that $70 million a day impact. That's a big deal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, fishing is a big part of that. We got to keep our waterways clean. And, you know, Vilas County, if you've ever been up there, Pat, they have this thing called the Heart of the Vilas Bike Trail, and it connects St. Germain all the way to Mercer on these paved bike paths. It's really like some of the best bike paths in the country, and it's underutilized.
I love the expansion of bike paths. It was really cool here when an old rail line was paved and became part of the old Abe Trail running up along the Chippewa River here. But getting back to the Strubes, who are putting together that fund, again, mm-hmm. the Natural Wonder Fund, right? Yeah, Natural Wonder Fund. And it's part of the Rhinelander Community Foundation. So if you want to learn more about it, go to RhinelanderCommunityFoundation.com. Nothing tricky about that. RhinelanderCommunityFoundation.com. And that's how you can learn a bit more about that. Although I'm sure I mentioned Burnett County. I'm sure there are other lakes up around your area that where these wake boats are, and people hear about these bans and are wondering, hey, wait a minute, can I get one of those bans on my lake? I'm sure there's disagreements in some spots.
Yeah, I've been to some listening sessions from our local legislators, Senator Mary Felskowski and Representative Rob Swearingen, and it is like the most controversial topic. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what time of year it is. Just lately, it's been a lot of people harping on that because they've been trying to get some regulations on it, but there's been really no agreement in the legislature. So I know a lot of people are passionate about it on both sides. And it seems like it can be really damaging to a lake if it's a small lake.
Oh, yes. And so, again, a time and a place for everything. And there certainly are lakes that are capable of handling, you know, these, you know, wakes of this size. But it's not just that the wakes affect you going, let's say, left and right, but also going down. And if you're in a shallow lake, you know, it also affects the lake bottom, which stirs up things. And so, you know, again, we just want all things in moderation. When you have that diversity of activities, you make for a beautiful place to play, even a beautiful place to live. Dan Hagen does, and that's why he's doing the news up in Rhinelander at WJFW Newswatch 12. Thanks for sticking around a bit and telling us about the work to promote silent sports out there.
Always good to be here, Patrick.
All right, Daniel. Well, we'll talk to you next week. Have a great day.
Yeah.
All right. Sports right now at 7:19. Not a stellar performance by the Brewers, scoring only one run. Atlanta scored seven. I believe that means they won. Yes, they did. 7-1. They'll do game two of the series tonight in Atlanta. Once again, coverage begins at 6:05 across the Civic Media Radio Network, where we do things here in the mornings, powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
Get ready to experience Milltown Coffee Company, where they'll delight your taste buds with a delicious selection of breakfast and lunch options, a full espresso and coffee menu, and irresistible ice cream. Explore their charming retail and gift area, and enjoy their inviting outdoor seating, which is not only dog-friendly, but also features freshly baked dog treats, perfect for your furry companions. Join them for exciting special evening events and a vibrant weekly farmers market that brings the community together. Milltown Coffee Company, opening May 2025.
This fall, build your perfect Wisconsin football game day with a mini pack. Pick any three games, including Big Ten matchups like Washington, Iowa, and Ohio State, and save while cheering on the Badgers. Big matchups, big moments, and it's all on your schedule. Football mini packs are available now. Create your custom game day experience today at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. First touchdown to the fifth quarter. There's always something to enjoy. Football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. I have your host, James J. Mayloff here, welcoming into the studio some of our good friends from the Miss Wisconsin Rapids and Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen organizations. We have the current crown wearers right now with us. I will introduce your name, let you guys go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience. First, we have Olivia Hewer with us.
Hello, everyone. Actually, it's Hoyer.
It's Hoyer. Yay. I knew it as soon as I said it. I'm sorry, Olivia. Thank you for being here, Olivia. It's good to see you again. And we have Bianca Bowden with us.
Hi, I'm Bianca.
Hey, Bianca. It's good to see you again, too. You guys, thanks so much for being here. I want to tell you both right out the gate how much I have been impressed by both of you. I've heard throughout the time that you guys have been doing this from community members, from people in the area. I've really enjoyed what you guys have brought to this wonderful organization. And I want to dive right into things and start right there. What have you been up to? Let's go ahead and start with you, Olivia.
Yeah, so I had spent a lot of the time, especially when we first started in October, kind of honing in on my CSI and tweaking it a little bit. I actually changed my CSI a little bit. It went from It Takes a Village to Raise a Child to now Tools for Tomorrow. So before it was going to be all about spreading awareness, and now it's more about collecting tools and supplies for the students in classrooms. So a lot of my time was spent on that. And then after we got that all set up a couple months ago, I think it was last month, we finally announced my new CSI, and I got to go to see some schools before school ended. And now we're really diving into prep for the upcoming competition next week.
I can only imagine. So when it comes to, we'll talk about the competition as well. We'll get that in there and make sure everybody knows about when that is and how they can attend. You mentioned your CSI, what you were going to focus with and everything. Were you kind of surprised, or were you just, okay, this is bigger than I thought it was, or it's about as you know, big as I thought it would be?
I think it actually got to be a lot bigger than I had originally thought it was going to be. When I first did this, it was solely based for my mom. My mom's a teacher, and I really just wanted to find a way to support her. I knew that's what I wanted to do, but I had no idea of where to take it or how the best way to do that was. And through the organization with my directors, I was able to really get a good grasp of what the community needed and find a great organization. We're working with Stuff the Bus and just finding the best way to help my classrooms and teachers.
I know for me, I was one of those kids that didn't have a lot of supplies, didn't have a lot of things growing up and everything. And I kind of, especially with the shame that went with it for me, I didn't talk to other kids about this. So I think that it wasn't until, again, you know, going off to college that I really realized how big of an issue it was. I can only imagine at your age and with not maybe having some of the data or whatever, walking into it and then finding out, wow, this is, you already know it's important. You know how big of a deal it is. You wouldn't have chosen otherwise. But to hear that part of it and to hear the groundwork that you're putting in on it and trying to bring attention to it, very much appreciated. That's great. Thank you, Olivia. Appreciate that. Bianca, how about for yourself?
So I went to two elementary schools, Woodside and Washington Elementary Schools, and I talked to kids from any grade. And like Liv said, she changed her CSI. I also changed my CSI to making a bigger range of car driving safety and stuff. So before it was mostly focused on seatbelts, but now I've kind of expanded to sitting in the car safely, seatbelts, of course, and then phone and like riding in the car safely. So the kids really look up to me. So I think that's a great way to get my message across to them.
Yeah, yeah, and a very noteworthy topic, too. Both of these are in different ways, but with this, I don't know, Bianca, did you, a similar question I have for you, too. I'm sure you saw this as an issue, you wouldn't choose it otherwise, but once you're in the middle of it, learning more about it, you talk about adapting your message as well. Was that in part because you saw it being a bigger issue or bigger, more to do with it, more layers to it than you might have realized?
Yeah, so about 2 years ago, this is the reason I chose my CSI. I got into a pretty serious car accident where my sister was airlifted to the Milwaukee hospital. And then a few months ago, my dad also got into a really bad fiery car accident. So I've had two car accidents in my family already. So I can already imagine like the statewide like car accidents. And I want to make that more aware that these things are more serious than you think.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I'm sorry to hear what your family's been through, but I appreciate you sharing that. I've mentioned to the audience plenty of times, I didn't get my license until later in life. I, for one, being in the city, you just didn't drive as much. But then when I also was through a lot of car accidents as a kid, a lot of them, and it just would trigger something for me. I've beaten that, and I'm okay with it now and stuff. I've been driving for a long time, but it took a long time to get to that place. These kind of things can hinder that, that growth. Right. And there's just too much. For one, there's too much independence and too much that comes with driving for people to not be able to fulfill that. But then once you are driving, respecting the road and respecting each other and that it's not a birthright, it's a privilege to get to drive, to get to be able to do these things. So a topic that your guys' generation are, I think, just my opinion, I think you guys are so much smarter and better about than people are giving credit to, whereas my generation, I think, is the one that really needs the work, really needs those messages that you're mentioning, Bianca, and stuff. In part, not to give excuses, but in part, I think with mine, we didn't grow up with a lot of tech, and we're still, I think, adapting to it. Where you guys know so much of this better than we do and understand it better than we do, I don't know. I'm just seeing from the people that I talk to, the experiences I have, it being a lot going a lot better in that route. That's good to hear. And appreciate the stuff. I also appreciate both of you guys mentioning how you started with a message and how you adapted that. we as a society need more of that and need to be more better about that. That's how a lot of life is. But unfortunately, you got a lot of people that double down nowadays and stuff. I like that you guys really show that and shine and embraced that. That's fun. That's great. Thank you both. So how have you been enjoying the experience? How has it been going, Bianca? Olivia, I knew I was going to do that. I knew I was going to do that at least once. I get one that I could do. Olivia, how's it been going?
I have been having such a blast, especially with taking so much time with my CSI. It's something I really do care about. And so really getting to make sure that it's going to a great cause and helping my community has been such a great accomplishment for me. I've been able to talk with a couple of classrooms, especially with that last week, even though school was ending.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
When you look around your rural community, do you think about AI? I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Well, you may not, or at least not now, but there are investors looking at rural communities as their source for data centers. That's the word from Jeff Johnston. He's a lead economist for infrastructure with CoBank. He says it's a remarkable development right now, and it's especially focused on rural America.
When we talk about AI, there's geopolitical implications to us in China. There are economic implications as well in terms of productivity and growth. So the stakes are enormously high. The amount of money that's being spent by the major data center companies like Amazon, Microsoft, Meta, and Google is nothing short of mind-blowing. And again, rural America is taking center stage in this AI revolution.
That's Jeff Johnston with CoBank talking about AI development data centers. And he also notes that this is closely related to the broadband gap that they're working on closing in rural America. He says if both efforts are going to succeed, infrastructure in rural communities has to play catch up. While the markets this morning look like they're trying to catch up as far as soybeans, at least, numbers and the latest crop progress report next.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
These cooler temperatures are definitely helping some of our Wisconsin crops. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service shows as of Sunday across the state, 70% of our winter wheat was rated good to excellent. That's up 3 percentage points in a week. Looks like 88% of our oats in good to excellent condition, also up 3 percentage points. And the all hay condition this week, 81% good to excellent, up 3 percentage points. Markets in overnight electronic trade for a Tuesday morning. Right now, July corn's down 2. December new crop down 2 at 4.36. July soybeans currently 3 cents higher. November new crop up a penny at 10.31. July wheat down 4 at 5.38. 40-pound block cheese on Monday was up 2.25 at 1.88. The AA butter dropped a half a cent at 2.55 a pound. The July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese currently up 6 at 1888 a hundredweight. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be partly cloudy and a bit warmer today. Our high in the low to mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop to around 60 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunny and even warmer with a high in the upper 70s to near 80. Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he hosts the Todd Alba Show, appropriately named from 2 to 4 across the network. Todd Alba joins us after 9:30. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Here's a reminder of that Scotty Summer Text to Win contest keyword for this hour. Tan, T-A-N. That thing that you hope to get and not a burn. Keyword is tan, T-A-N. Use that Civic Media app to text it for this hour's prize of $100. And you'll also be entered in for two of the great grand prizes, weekend getaways in the Wisconsin Dells area and to Door County. So again, tan is this hour's keyword, and you got to text it by the end of the hour. We had Christina Loria on earlier, who puts together our daily newsletter here at Up North News. You can sign up for it at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Among the stories, Parker, is about National Dairy Month, and of course, we make a lot of cheese here, and not every flavor cheese is for every taste that's out there, but there are some folks who love their cheese, shall we say, pungent, downright stinky, if you will. And that would include perhaps the stinkiest of all, Limburger. You ever try it?
Limburger? I don't even know if I've heard of that.
You've never heard of Limburger?
I don't think so.
It is, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary here, surface-ripened, aged, and famously malodorous, as in smelling very unpleasant. It was traditionally in Northern Europe layered between slices of dark bread with raw onions and horseradish or mustard and washed down with good local beer. And more than one person has quoted that Limburger, you know, at first sniff, really is kind of the stinky feet sensation.
I'm reading foot odor is what I'm finding here. Yeah, that's not great.
There are people who swear by it, and so Food Network, as they list all of the iconic eats and drinks from across America's Dairyland, does a little focus on Limburger as well. America's lone remaining Limburger cheese factory is a Chalet cheese co-op, and they still make and distribute more than 1 million pounds of Limburger annually, and they're all located in the town square in Little Monroe. Oh, and I can't. I can't be too critical. I mean, I wouldn't try it. But I also know that we have come a long way from, just processed, American cheese. You know, there's cheddar. I've now learned to appreciate an aged cheddar. I've really learned to appreciate an aged Gouda. I used to never want blue cheese, put blue cheese on a hamburger or on a salad or whatever. I'm like, well, that's mold. Why would I put mold on there? And then, of course, I tried it. And I liked it.
Pretty decent,
I love blue cheese on everything. So there, Limburger. That's the thing for y'all to try next is challenge your cheese taste buds for something new and see if you can go up the scale a notch. Maybe not all the way to Limburger, but
ease yourself in.
So, yeah. So again, that story's in our daily newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Tony says, oh, I love Gouda. Yes. And about the Limburger, he says, sounds fancy and terrible. matter of opinion there. We also have a Sunday newsletter that I put together. It's called, not all that creatively, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And on those Sunday mornings, you can get some of the best of what we covered for the week in news, but we also have a question of the week. And it actually came from something that we were discussing on air here with Chad Holmes, and Chad will be along in our next hour to talk to us about stories he's covering in the Wausau area, where there is discussion on whether it is time to move from a mayoral form of city leadership to a city manager. And other communities have tried that, or maybe have gone back and forth to a city manager. And at the county level, there have been professionals who have been appointed as county administrators as opposed to an elected county executive. So that's our question of the week is, you know, for your city and county, would you want somebody elected, somebody local, or do you want to get above the politics and have a professional who's appointed? So mayor or city manager, county executive or county administrator, that's in our weekend Sunday morning newsletter. And of course, you can answer it by email as well. Just send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Again, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, and share your thoughts on that. Coming up on the Civic Media Radio Network later today, Dan Schaefer is pinch hitting for Maggie Dawn. Now, Dan will also be with us during the next hour, but before he hosts and fills in for Maggie Dawn this afternoon, he's going to publish his latest column for Civic Media and the recombobulation area. And a lot of it is about the chatter coming up for the state Democratic convention. And he's going to give his take on some of how those conversations should be going. And then he'll talk all about it when he fills in for Maggie Dawn with his guest co-host, Angela Lang from Block. So quite the dynamic duo that you can catch this afternoon from 4 to 6, right after Todd Alba's show from 2 to 4 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News belongs to Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy newsroom with many newsletters and podcasts and series, not just this fine radio show. But here's a new one that they're starting. It's called Represent, and it follows Deja Fox. She's an activist. She's a political strategist. She's a digital content creator. And now she's a candidate. She's running for Congress in Arizona's 7th Congressional District. And so our Arizona outlet, the Copper Courier, is going behind the scenes to document Deja Fox's insurgent campaign. And so if you want one of those, peek behind the curtains, what's the sports version on ESPN? Is it where they go behind with a football team all season long?
Hard Knocks? I think Hard Knocks.
I don't think there's a question mark on there, but yeah.
Okay.
Think
it's Hard Knocks.
We'll find out.
Anyway, isn't it fun?
I love Stump the Producer. Always a great game to play. Anyway, you get the same version, but of a political campaign for this campaign in Arizona. And again, for that, you can search for Courier Newsroom on YouTube and then scroll down the YouTube page to the videos for the new series called Represent. Along with all the other newsletters and great things that are there at couriernewsroom.com. We talked earlier about how Robert Kennedy Jr. has just fired the entire vaccine advisory panel for the Centers for Disease Control. What could go wrong, right? As we know, the cuts that the Trump administration wants to make are even bigger than that. And so here's the latest shoe to drop. This one from a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story saying that 9 Wisconsin clinics could lose funding for HIV testing after the latest funding freeze and a flurry of grant-related changes nationwide. And the article says the Trump budget proposal for 2026 looks to make cuts to HIV prevention in clinics and community organizations. The high-impact HIV prevention and surveillance program for health departments covers HIV testing, prevention medication costs, and treatment for other sexually transmitted infections like syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia. The Centers for Disease Control awarded $400 million to 59 health departments nationwide for this 5-year grant, and Wisconsin, in the first year alone, received just under $2 million. The second year of that grant was due to start on June 1st, and while Milwaukee clinics are waiting on word about the future of their CDC funding, they're also trying to make plans for how to keep services available. The Journal Sentinel quotes a clinic operations manager for the Brady East Sexual Health Clinic as saying they were slated to receive $50,000 per year, but will use emergency funds to keep free services accessible while they look for alternative funding options. Chris Allen, the president and CEO of Diverse and Resilient, says the pause in funding undermines efforts to address the health disparities and violence that our community faces. And again, it just really leads to the uncertainty. We've spoken in the past with Tanya Atkinson from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin about the ongoing efforts to slash their funding, which does not go to any abortion care whatsoever. It goes to the basic health care services that they provide in their clinics located all throughout Wisconsin. And these basic health services and now HIV testing are in danger. People say, well, if you got emergency funds, you'll be fine. They're emergency funds. They're going to run out. And so we can either, once again, depend upon the benevolence of billionaires who will eventually fund these things, or we can decide that that's a better use of our tax dollars than giving tax cuts to billionaires. The Journal Sentinel list of other clinics that are facing cuts from the Trump administration include Benedict Center, the City of Racine Health Department, the Eau Claire City County Health Department, Empowering Community Action Initiative, Outreach Inc., and UW Health. And again, in every one of these places, there will be somebody that says, well, gosh, there's so many places. There can't help but be, you know, some kind of waste, fraud, and abuse in these things. Maybe so. Maybe so. So you do what? You investigate and you prosecute when you find it. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater or the baby's vaccines, as the case may be. That's exactly what the Trump administration is looking to do. And again, not to save you any money, not to save you any money, just to make your life just a little bit harder. One more note from out of the Milwaukee area, the old Pabst Brewery in Milwaukee's Brewery District. And I bring this up somewhat for personal reasons, because for a very short time in between jobs in the Milwaukee area while Sherry was going to med school, I worked in the offices of the old Pabst Brewery. And, you know, again, just a really cool district, a lot of history there. And a lot of folks are familiar with the big Pabst neon sign, you know, in five big neon letters on a catwalk, basically, that goes between two buildings there. And apparently, according to an article in the Milwaukee Business Journal, the Pabst sign could be trading neon for LED lighting. The proposed lights would be laid out exactly the same. The Brewery Neighborhood Improvement District, which is the steward of the sign, is attached to the bridge that connects what are now the Malt House Apartments and the Brew House Inn and Suites. And I have to say it, now I haven't been there for a few years here, but again, there are few things more satisfying than seeing when you can take an old neighborhood and old buildings and fix them up and have like an entirely new neighborhood without having to get out the wrecking ball. I know I've mentioned the Walker's Point neighborhood in downtown Milwaukee previously, where, again, when we lived there 30 years ago, it was a dump. It was just all old buildings, old warehouses, and it is now fixed up so nice that you can definitely spend a weekend at one of the nice boutique hotels down there, great restaurants, good shops, and that's certainly what they're trying to do up in the Milwaukee area as well. So up there at the old Pabst Brewery, the Milwaukee Historic Preservation Commission this month recommended approval of a request to repaint the lettering, but they have not yet taken a final vote on the lighting, hoping that they would be able to do that, because otherwise, if you have to repair the neon glass inside, you've got workers, you know, dangling 80 feet up in the air, and a task that can cost a few thousand dollars compared to the much lower, less energy using LED lights that could go up there instead. Again, tan is our keyword for the Scani Summer Text to Win contest, and we'll have more coming up mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network in just a bit.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. You may have filled out a U.S. Census questionnaire which promised to keep your individual data private. There's concern the Trump administration or Congress may add a question about your citizenship in the 2030 census. Would you answer it? Since 1790, the U.S. has counted the, quote, whole number of free persons, not just citizens. The census has always promised anonymity to get accurate answers, and that data informs important decisions on everything from road construction to education policy to voting districts. The first Trump administration tried to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census, but it was struck down by the Supreme Court. Trump later issued an executive order entitled Executive Order on Collecting Information About Citizenship Status in Connection with the Decennial Census, a precursor to possibly not counting the whole population, but just citizens. The Biden administration rescinded it, but Trump rolled back Biden's order in January. If a citizenship question were to be added in the 2030 census, a study released in March found it would likely depress response to the questionnaire, particularly among Hispanics. Add in Trump's recent orders allowing the sharing of personal information from federal agencies with DOJ, ICE, and state agencies, the effect on the census would impact policies and congressional voting districts for years to come. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Welcome all to WFHR's Rapids Report. The show is proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. Big shout out to our new sponsors. We appreciate the gang at Crockett Septic. And we appreciate our guest today. Joining us right now, as he has every month for so long now, Representative Scott Krug on the phone with us. Scott, how are you doing?
I'm good. You know, I'm glad you mentioned it's been a while now, because I'm trying to think back to the very first conversation that I had in the old studio with Carl, and it had to be... right before election in 2010. So what, wow. That's 15 years ago already?
That's crazy. That is crazy. Yeah. First off, I loved the conversations you and Carl had. They were fantastic. You guys always had good conversations. And we appreciate that you've always made the time to do these things. Know that we weren't able to hang out last month, but we both get busy and schedules and all those things. And honestly, this is something I say to you and Senator Teston, even Sheriff Becker. When you're not able to be here, that the day job comes first, and you know that's all right. We encourage that, of course. We understand that around here. But with
I know, but I mean, this is the day job part two, though. I mean, you know, honestly, it sucks when I can't make it work. But and this is the stuff that's more important than sitting in the Capitol, though. So I want people to know that, like, if something comes up and it just doesn't work that month, it's not like it was meant to be. It was really a struggle to try to fit it in and make it work, and sometimes it just doesn't. But this was probably more important than sending the capital, actually.
Appreciate that. And Scott has proven that over and over again, to the point where we've done many interviews with you sitting in like a Quick Trip parking lot, just so you can get the call in and everything. Like, yeah,
exactly.
I wanted to take some time to focus on a couple of big things that you've been up to in the last couple of months, one of them being the Wisconsin Fast Forward Grant. Can you tell the listeners about this? I really find this encouraging.
Yeah, so Fast Forward is something that we created way back in like the 2013-2015 state budget, and it's just something that we've been really working on right-sizing the whole time too, just trying to get more involvement of youth in various different workforce opportunities throughout the state of Wisconsin. So it's a skills development program, a worker training group program, and there's little bits of it of retention for current employees, some training for new people. So it just, I think it's been our best answer to the struggles we've got with our changing demographics at the state level, is just trying to make sure that A, we're able to retain people, B, that we're able to, develop skills for people who want to move up to a new job, C, that we create internship opportunities across the state. And it's been really highly successful and pretty bipartisan every time we've gone back to the pool here to try to beef it up a little bit more. So we're spending some decent amount of money trying to make sure that the workforce is trained and ready for 21st century jobs, knowing that as fast as we go, AI is passing us up left and right, and it kind of causes us some struggle and grief when we focus so much on computer science and engineering jobs and Fast Forward and our university programs, and all of a sudden AI starts gobbling those jobs up quicker than we can respond. It does get tough. So, I mean, that's the point of Fast Forward, is trying to keep up with technology and keep the workforce as trained and ready as possible.
Some of it also, some of the intention does feel like also doing a little bit of catching up. I don't think that Wisconsin is behind on certain things or anything, but there are some areas that we haven't necessarily gotten on, like a lot of the surrounding states have and everything. So there's a little bit of that to it that I find encouraging as well.
Yeah, I think the main reason we actually created Fast Forward way back in the day, like I get to say as an old timer now, is, we saw the challenges and struggles with the paper industry coming a long ways away, right? We knew the aging demographics were changing the workforce capabilities and availability. We saw all the closures happening at the end of the, 08, 09, 10, 11 years. Anticipated some future ones that happened, of course, to us here in Rapids and other areas, and tried to make sure that we understood that those people who were in that workforce at that time, whose skills were not diminishing, but their jobs were going away because of technology and different opportunities and different innovations, that we wanted to make sure that people who are dependable and reliable have every skill set they would ever need to achieve success in any workforce setting. Because any employer will tell you this, whether it's in the service industry or whether it's manufacturing, as long as they have employees who are dependable and reliable, they can teach them just about anything. So we wanted to make sure that everybody in our workforce who fits those two categories already can just get the skills training they need wherever they might end up.
One other note on this that I thought was noteworthy about it. When we were kids, I don't know about you, but I know the first time that I heard about like a Coach Alvarez for UW, and he had a pipeline to in New York, and he had a pipeline, of course, to Florida and to here in Wisconsin, and how important that was recruiting wise and all of that. It pops in mind when I was first reading about this years ago, and even just bringing it back up now, about how important that is for states. And Wisconsin certainly one of those states that is important to keep our local talent and keep people in-house, in-state here.
Yeah, I mean, and that's exactly what happened after the first iteration of Fast Forward, is you started to see a lot of chambers, like here in Wisconsin Rapids, where they went to the heavy metal bus tours for the eighth graders to get out to manufacturers and start introducing kids to different opportunities within their communities. So when government money is free for things like Fast Forward, that these kids who have an interest can match it up with availability of training, and that pipeline is built. So, I mean, it's turned into a very massive workforce development project. So we keep going back every state budget and looking at ways of making it better or getting rid of different, pathways that just, kind of fizzle away because of technology or changes. But you're never going to see a shortage in nursing. You're never going to see a shortage in CNA training. You're never going to see a shortage in trying to beef up manufacturing. So, I mean, those things that we know are going to be time proven, we try to invest a lot quicker in. And at the same time, like I mentioned, on the AI side of it, we're really trying to develop a training and a pathway that our tech schools and our universities and Fast Forward can all work together to capture this new growing change in our world.
Mm-hmm. You recently, you had a public hearing on SB 156. This is the bill requiring first responders to be trained to administer epi delivery systems. This has a lot to it, a lot of depth to it and everything. I wanted to take a moment to talk about this, Scott.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Police fired tear gas at anti-ICE demonstrators during a fourth night of protests in L.A. California is suing over President Trump's deployment of the National Guard and now the Marines, CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
The suit calls it a, quote, unprecedented power grab and misuse of federal authority.
Medical experts like CBS News contributor Dr. Celine Gounder pushing back after Health Secretary Kennedy removes the CDC's entire panel of vaccine experts.
It injects political instability into a process that's traditionally been nonpartisan, not political, and rooted in science.
Police in Austria say 8 students and a teacher have been shot and killed at a high school in the city of Graz. The suspect also died. CBS's Holly Williams.
According to local media reports, there are a number of injured people, including both students and teachers. We have no confirmed information at this point about the motives of the attacker.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.